The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and let's jump in with this one from Better Homes and Gardens. Chilling out this summer. Warm weather and seasonal celebrations can bring stressors and hazards for dogs and cats. Use these strategies to keep them safe and happy. Storms and fireworks. The loud, unpredictable noises and flashes of light in fireworks displays and storms, plus the change in barometric pressure, make these events terrifying for some pets. Be prepared. Set up a yoga mat or comfy throw rug to create a safe space where your pet can retreat during fireworks or when thunderstorms hit. Lure your dog or cat to that area with some of their favorite treats and or toys so they have a positive association with the space, says Sharon Crowell Davis, DVM, PhD, professor of behavioral medicine in the College of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Georgia in Athens. If your animal is prone to anxiety or has had major panic attacks, speak to your vet about medication that may help keep her calm. Pools and lakes. Not all dogs know how to swim. Pools can be especially dangerous because dogs can't hang on or use a ladder to climb out the way humans can, says Margaret D. Duxbury, DVM, DACVB, a veterinary behaviorist in Minnetonka, Minnesota. Monitor dogs closely around all water so they don't accidentally fall in. If your dog's not attracted to water, don't force it, but teaching her how to swim is an option. Put her in a body harness that has a handle for you to grasp. Start in the shallow end and stay close while your dog paddles around. And I would add, make sure they always know where the exit is. Sidewalks. Hot pavement can burn the pads of your pet's paws. If you can't comfortably hold your hand on the pavement, it's too hot for your dog. Grass and soil stay cooler. And barbecues. During outdoor parties, keep pets away from the grill. Place a baby gate around it. And don't feed pets scraps. You don't want them to associate the grill with treats. Also know that certain summer foods are dangerous for dogs and cats. Corn on the cob. The cob can lodge in the digestive tract. Onions, garlic, and meat gristle and bones, which pets can choke on. And then a little aside here, a picture of a dog peeking out from under some covers. Safe and sound. Loosely wrapping your dog in a weighted blanket can be calming. Never scold for anxious behavior, like pacing, chewing, digging, or barking. From Good Housekeeping, expert advice, tricks for good gifting. Helpful advice from Hollywood's top gift guru, Lash Farry, author of Fabulous Gifts. And the last name spelled F-A-R-Y, if you want to look for the book. First, trust your gut. If you see an item that reminds you of your wife or your best friend, pay attention, says Farry. Nothing is better than when a person opens a gift and says, "This is so me." Shop during the off-season. A looming birthday and an empty shopping cart can be anxiety-inducing. Save yourself the stress and turn shopping into a year-round activity. When you see an appropriate item, just buy it, even if you give it later. Put care into how a present looks. Presentation is at least half of your gift, says Farry. You don't have to be the most amazing wrapper, just take the time to do it. For best results, add some ribbon or a fresh flower. And last, use your words. Never underestimate the power of a note, says Farry. The more you can say something sentimental or make the person feel something, the more value it adds to the gift. From Real Simple, the three commandments of lending to loved ones. How to help friends and family in their hour of need without borrowing trouble. Earlier on in the pandemic, my husband Joseph and I decided to offer money to a close family member, a single dad whose steady income stream had evaporated overnight. We knew he needed help ASAP, but figuring out how much we could afford made me confront all the ways I think about money. I was surprised by the sometimes judgy what-ifs I worried about. What if one of us loses our income for some reason and regrets this? What if he asks for more? What if he doesn't use the money well? Just as I was wondering whether I was greedy, it occurred to me that in this case, the opposite of generosity isn't greed, it's fear, especially when family is involved, because so much is tied up in the giving and the taking and the feelings and the lifelong relationships. When it comes to lending money to family members or even people you consider family, the conversations and exchanges can be complicated, says Manisha Taker, a certified financial planner and the founder of the consultancy Money Zen. But they don't have to be. Here's how to handle some common scenarios according to the pros. For siblings, cousins, and those who are like family, thou shalt lend only what you can afford to lose. The number one rule from personal finance expert Stephanie O'Connell Rodriguez, who hosts Real Simple's Money Confidential podcast, assume you won't get your money back. You don't have to tell your lendee you don't expect to be repaid. You're simply mentally reframing the loan as a gift, which makes a world of difference in terms of managing expectations, says Aaron Lowry, author of the Broke Millennial book series. And that last name, Lowry. When I lend money to someone close, I think of it as a gift, so I'm then delighted when the person repays me. This simple mind trick takes the pressure off and reduces the temptation to judge the way the person spends the money. If you can't afford to give cash, O'Connell Rodriguez recommends thinking of other ways to help, like finding the borrower a 0% APR credit card. Asking for money can make people feel vulnerable, so acknowledging your own financial struggles might be greatly reassuring to your loved one. It shows them they're not alone, Thaker says. It can help erase some of the embarrassment, adds O'Connell Rodriguez, if there are any financial tools that helped you when times were tight, such as books and podcasts, sharing them can be very meaningful. For adult children, thou shalt set clear boundaries. As the saying goes, give your kids enough money to do something, but not enough to do nothing. If you're lending money to your adult child, it's best to set limits. You'll help them pay off their car loan, say, but not buy them a brand new model, and clearly communicate how and when you need to be repaid. Help your child establish a workable budget and draw up a formal repayment plan, says Sherry Greco-Riches, co-founder of Rappaport Riches Capital Management in Skokie, Illinois, and author of Maximize Your Return on Life. So her last name is spelled R-E-I-C-H-E-S. For gifts over $16,000, talk to your accountant or financial advisor about tax laws. In most cases, an attorney can help draw up formal loan arrangements, she says. Regardless of how much you give, Greco-Riches recommends that both you and your child strictly adhere to the repayment plan. On-time payments will not only make life simpler for everyone, but also build your child's confidence and your trust in them. For your parents, thou shalt be the voice of compassionate reason. When your parents ask for money, it can feel impossible to say no. After all, these people supplied you with shoes and breakfast cereal and ColecoVision for how many years? But before agreeing, have an honest talk with them about their needs and your concerns. Greco-Riches suggests starting with a heart-to-heart about where they are financially and where they should be. If you have siblings, ask them to join too, without making your parents feel ganged up on. Many times, parents need a fundamental lifestyle change, and there's usually some fear surrounding this, Greco-Riches says. Maybe they're attached to the house they've lived in for decades, but it's become too expensive to maintain. Or they spend indulgently even though they're on a fixed income. Directly acknowledge the challenge and detail some of what-if scenarios, Greco-Riches says. What if the roof needs to be replaced? What if real estate taxes go up? What if there's a health issue and more help is needed? And perhaps most importantly, what if you can't always help them cover the expenses? Bringing tangible issues of repairs and costs to light will hopefully empower them to find viable alternatives, Greco-Riches says. If they're living beyond their means, helping them plan a lifestyle they can afford is ultimately the kinder thing to do. In the end, my husband and I jointly landed on a sum that would be helpful to our family member without breaking our bank account. And taking Lowry's advice one step further, we not only thought of it as a gift, but presented it as such. He was unfailingly grateful, and he also respected the parameters. It was both a one-time gift and a one-time request. From Millie, Your Money, Your Life. Millie's Library, that sounds good. Millie recommends 6 audiobooks across genres and suitable for longtime listeners as well as absolute audio beginners. The best news, no trees were felled in the making of these stories. Tell me a story is a common kiddie request, no matter the child's nationality, ethnicity, or even era. Simply put, the spoken or read aloud story is as old as time. In fact, it's how early humans explained time, as well as life itself, from the stars in the sky, the zodiac, to why creatures act the way they do, Aesop. Fast forward a few millennia, and digitally told stories, audiobooks that is, are enjoying a renaissance. Here are some of their recommendations. The Last Black Unicorn by and read by Tiffany Haddish, Haddish. It's just straight up cool to listen to authors read their own work. And the cool factor multiplies when the reader in question is Tiffany Haddish, the hilariously honest comedian and actor who shares her experiences as a foster care kid, an illiterate ninth grader, and ultimately a successful black woman on the stand-up circuit in Hollywood. Next, We Run the Tides by Vendela Vida, V-I-D-A, read by Marin Ireland's. This moody coming-of-age story, read by Tony-nominated actor Marin Ireland, is about 13-year-old Eulaby and what may or may not have happened to her and her charismatic but not entirely reliable best friend. There are Me Too aspects to their story, along with the enduring drama of leaving childhood behind. Next, State of Terror by Hillary Clinton, C-L-I-N-T-O-N, and Louise Penny, P-E-N-N-Y, read by Joan Allen. First of all, and especially for fans of the Bourne franchise, I give you Joan Allen. It's an understatement to say the Tony-winning actor has the grit and gravitas needed to portray a Secretary of State. And who better to write the story than former Secretary of State Clinton and best-selling thriller author Louise Penny. It's such an all-star trio that the story is almost secondary, but pleasing all the same, particularly when it refreshes political thriller tropes. The Third Mrs. Galway by Deirdre Sinnott, S-I-N-N-O-T-T, read by Rebecca Lee. 2 young women, one white, the other an escaped and pregnant slave, accidentally meet. The year is 1835, and the location is Utica, New York, where slavery has been abolished. Still, bounty hunters roam the countryside, looking for escapees to return to southern plantations. Neither woman knows much about the other's race or experience, but they need to trust each other in order to foil the powerful men who conspire against them. This harrowing story is beautifully narrated by prolific audiobook reader Rebecca Lee. Zecora by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, A-D-I-C-H-I-E, read by Adepero Odui. Dip your toes into audio heaven with this short story about a black woman living in D.C. who is giving birth as a single mother with her own mother by her side. Like Zecora, our protagonist, narrator Adepero Odui's parents were originally from Nigeria, and the actor, whose credits include 12 Years a Slave and Pariah, shows her impressive range, bringing to life the pain, fear, and excitement of childbirth and motherhood. And the last one, Eye of the World, Book 1 of The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan, read by Kate Redding, and Michael Kramer, and Robert Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N. With a top-ranked television adaptation on Amazon Prime, this behemoth 14-book series by Robert Jordan starts off by unveiling a world of powerful women. Ace Sedai magic users, scary Trolloc monsters, and a prophesied dragon reborn, narrated by married couple Michael Kramer and Kate Redding. This is a must-listen for all fantasy lovers. From Better Homes and Gardens, Banish the Basic. Designer Emily Henderson wants you to know that even if your house was built cookie-cutter, it doesn't have to stay that way. In her new book, she shares tricks for a custom look for less. Her book, adapted from the new design rules, How to Decorate and Renovate from Start to Finish by Emily Henderson, H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. Renovating the kitchen is where you'll likely spend the most money and feel the most stress, but it's also the space that will add the most value in the long term. When a kitchen calls for something bold but budget-friendly, here's what I do. First, paint the cabinets a modern color. When designer Valinda Helen redid her kitchen, she opted for lower cabinets in a fresh robin's egg blue, for example. White is a forever classic, but darker kitchens are moody, dramatic, and modern. Consider this: light on top, darker on the bottom, can make a kitchen feel bigger without committing to a whole room of color. Replace the cabinet fronts. Before you start from scratch and replace your cabinets, consider whether they just need a facelift. Changing the panels will renew your kitchen and save you money. I love the cabinet fronts and hardware from online shop semihandmade.com for transforming IKEA cabinets. They give you a more custom and modern look on a budget. Style-wise, shaker doors are popular and generally modestly priced, with a wide selection to choose from and typically with a shorter lead time. Opt for open shelving. Think about how much closed cabinetry you actually need. Open shelves lend an airier feel and are a more affordable option than investing in traditional uppers. Upgrade the backsplash. White subwhite tile is a classic, but don't rule out other options. Handmade tiles, used to be a rare find, but more affordable lookalikes, are going mainstream. The glazed terracotta look has a lot of organic texture and reflects light beautifully. From Women's Day, June is LGBTQ Pride Month, if you're unaware. And here's a quote from George Takei. We should indeed keep calm in the face of indifference and live our lives in a state of inclusion and wonder at the diversity of humanity. From Real Simple, Simple Twist. Tomatoes aren't real, birds are. You grow fruits and veggies to feed yourself, not a flock of ravenous birds. But you can bamboozle the little buggers and save your tomatoes from ruin by hanging a red ornament on your plant just as it begins to flower. Certain birds are drawn to tomatoes because they essentially see them as water fountains in the summer heat. The ornament mimics the juicy fruit, so they try to peck it for a drink, says Christina Reed, a gardening expert at Texas A&M University. After making several visits without quenching their thirst, the birds will likely avoid your tomatoes, Reed says. Don't worry, they'll find another water source. So long, suckers. Gonna pass that on to a friend who was just complaining to me that all her tomatoes are getting eaten. From Woman's Day, a recipe for classic lobster rolls. Active and total time are both 15 minutes, and it serves 6. We need 1/4 cup mayo, 1/4 cup fresh lemon juice, 2 tablespoons fresh chives chopped, 1 tablespoon Dijon mustard, kosher salt and pepper, 1 1/4 pounds cooked lobster meat cut into large pieces, butter for the hot dog buns, and 6 split top hot dog buns, lettuce leaves for serving. In a bowl, combine mayonnaise, lemon juice, chives, mustard, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Add lobster and gently coat to toss. Toss to coat. Butter the sides of the hot dog buns and cook in nonstick skillet until golden and crisp on each side. Line toasted rolls with lettuce leaves and then fill with the lobster salad. From Good Housekeeping, grilled shrimp cocktail. Active and total time, both 15 minutes. And it serves 4 to 6. We need 1/2 cup ketchup, 2 tablespoons prepared horseradish squeezed of excess moisture, 1 1/2 teaspoons grated lemon zest plus 2 tablespoons lemon juice, 3 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon Worcestershire sauce divided, 1/4 teaspoon hot sauce optional, 1 pound large peeled and deveined shrimp, 26 to 30 count, and kosher salt. Heat grill to medium high. Make cocktail sauce by doing this. In a bowl, combine ketchup, horseradish, lemon zest and juice, 1 teaspoon of the Worcestershire sauce and the hot sauce if you're using it, and then transfer to a serving bowl. In a large bowl, toss shrimp with 1 tablespoon Worcestershire sauce and 1/2 teaspoon salt, then thread onto skewers 2 to 3 shrimp per skewer. Grill, basting with remaining 2 tablespoons Worcestershire sauce until opaque throughout, 2 to 3 minutes per side, and then serve with the cocktail sauce. From Martha Stewart Living, Fizz Ed. Frosty, fruity, and super refreshing. These pitcher drinks, that means they're made in a pitcher, will have brunch guests clamoring for refills. And they can have a few tipples without getting tipsy because they're all low in alcohol. The colorful trio includes an effervescent strawberry and vodka smash topped with ginger beer, a sparkling orange margarita kicked up with mint, and a tart gin gimlet muddled with celery. 3 cheers for Big Batch Bevies. First up, the strawberry ginger smash. Muddle 1 1/2 cups chopped fresh strawberries with a chopped 4-inch knob of fresh ginger in a pitcher. Add 3 ounces fresh lemon juice and 6 ounces chilled vodka. Fill with ice and stir until cold. Pour into glasses, top with chilled ginger beer. Serve with more strawberries and thin slices of ginger. The orange mint margarita. Muddle 1 cup fresh mint leaves with 3 ounces fresh orange juice and 2 ounces fresh lime juice in a pitcher. Add 4 1/2 ounces chilled tequila blanco and 1 1/2 ounces orange liqueur. Fill with ice and stir until cold. Pour into salt-rimmed glasses. Top with chilled seltzer. Serve with mint sprigs and orange wheels. And the celery lime gimlet. Muddle 2 cups chopped celery stalks from 1/2 of a bunch of celery with 1 tablespoon superfine sugar in a pitcher. Add 3 ounces fresh lime juice and 6 ounces chilled gin. Fill with ice and stir until cold. Pour into glasses. Serve with lime wheels and celery leaves. From Good Housekeeping, Retro Weeknights. These are some things that are throwbacks to years and decades before. A 70s brunch favorite, Quiche Lorraine. You can make this ahead of time, by the way. Active time, 15 minutes. Total time, 1 hour. Heat oven to 425. Roll out and fit 1 pie crust, homemade or refrigerated, rolled, into and up the sides of a pie plate. Fold the edge of the dough underneath to create a thicker rim and crimp as desired. Place on a rimmed baking sheet, prick the bottom all over with a fork, and bake until light golden brown, 12 to 15 minutes. Remove from the oven and lower the temperature to 375. Meanwhile, in a large skillet on medium, cook 4 slices bacon, flipping once until crisp, 5 to 6 minutes. Transfer to paper towel lined plate. Discard all but 1 tablespoon of the drippings Add one large onion, finely chopped. Season with a quarter teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper, and cook, covered, stirring occasionally until tender, 6 to 8 minutes. Remove from heat and stir in 3/4 cup flat-leaf parsley, chopped, and the reserved bacon, crumbled. In a large bowl, whisk together 4 large eggs, 3/4 cup sour cream, 1/2 cup whole milk, 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon fresh grated nutmeg, which is optional. Gently stir in the onion mixture and 4 ounces Gruyere cheese, grated, which is about 1 cup. Pour egg mixture into the crust. Bake until just set and a knife inserted in the center comes out clean, 35 to 40 minutes. Let rest for 5 minutes before serving. Sprinkle with parsley if desired. And it serves 6. From the 60s, some French flair, chicken à l'orange. Active time on this one also 15 minutes, total time 45, and it serves 4. As also gluten-free. Heat oven to 425. In a large, shallow roasting pan, toss 8 shallots, which have been halved lengthwise or quartered if they're large, with 1 tablespoon olive oil and 1/4 teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper. Cut 1 3- to 3.5-pound whole chicken into 10 pieces with the breasts halved. In a large bowl, whisk together 1/2 cup of orange marmalade, yum, 1 tablespoon each oil, white wine vinegar, and fresh rosemary, chopped, and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Add the chicken and toss to coat. Place chicken mixture in a roasting pan, nestling the pieces among the shallots. Roast until chicken is browned and cooked through and shallots are tender, 25 to 35 minutes. Serve with steamed green beans and bread if desired. Looks yummy. From the 80s, light and refreshing, we have a Waldorf chicken salad. This is a 20-minute meal. In a large bowl, whisk together 1 tablespoon white wine vinegar, 1/2 teaspoon honey, and 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt to dissolve. Then whisk in 3 tablespoons sour cream, 2 tablespoons mayo, 1 tablespoon whole grain mustard, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Toss 2 heads of Boston lettuce, separate the leaves, of course, with 1/2 of the dressing to coat, then toss with 3/4 cup flat-leaf parsley, roughly chopped. Divide among bowls, along with 2 rotisserie chicken breasts, which have been sliced, 1 Gala apple, which has been cored and thinly sliced, 2 stalks of celery, thinly sliced on a bias, and 1 cup small red seedless grapes, cut in 1/2. Drizzle with remaining dressing, and sprinkle with 1/2 cup of walnuts, toasted and roughly chopped. This makes 4. From the 1950s, gourmet comfort. Oh, no, you know what? That'll have to wait till the next one. We're out of time. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. With comments and questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.